The Mystical City of God, The Transfiction, Book 5, Chapter 23. The Venerable Sister Mary of Jesus of Agreda describes the occupations of the Virgin Mother during the absence of her Most Holy Son, and her intercourse with her guardian angels.
254. When the Redeemer of the world had left the bodily presence of his most loving Mother, she felt herself, as it were, in an eclipse or under a shadow, caused by the transposition of the clear Sun of Justice, which had illuminated and rejoiced her. Yet, though this might be true of her senses, her soul lost nothing of the light in which it bathed and in which it was raised above the burning love of the seraphim. As all the operations of her faculties, during the absence of the human personality of her Son, concerned themselves with the Deity, she so ordered all her doings that, retired within her dwelling and separated from all human intercourse, she might apply herself to the contemplation and praise of the Lord. She wanted to give herself up entirely to the exercise of prayer and petition in order that the seed of the divine word and doctrine, which the Lord was to plant into the hearts of men, might not be lost on account of their hardness and ingratitude and not fail to give abundant fruit of eternal life and salvation of souls. By means of her infused knowledge she knew the intentions of the incarnate Word and therefore the most prudent lady resolved not to converse with any human creature, in order to imitate him in his fasting and retirement of the desert, as I will relate farther on. For she was a living image and faithful reproduction of Christ, whether he was absent or present. 255. Shut up in her house during all the days in which her divine Son was absent, our Blessed Lady spent her time in exercise of devotion. Her prayers were so ardent that she shed tears of blood in weeping over the sins of men. She genuflected and prostrated herself upon the ground more than 200 times each day. And this was an exercise which she practiced with especial earnestness during all her life, as an exterior manifestation of her humility, charity, reverence and worship of God. Of it I shall speak many times in the course of this history. Thus cooperating with her absent Son and Redeemer, she interceded so powerfully and efficaciously with the Eternal Father, that on account of her merits and on account of her presence here upon this earth, according to our way of speaking, he forgot the sins of all the mortals, who were then making themselves unworthy of the preaching and doctrine of his most holy Son. Mary then, cleared away this hindrance by the clamors of her burning charity. She was the mediatrix, who merited and gained for us the blessing of being taught by our Lord himself and of receiving the law of his holy gospel from his own lips. 256. What time still remained after her prolonged contemplations and exalted prayers, the great queen spent in conversation and intercourse with her holy angels, for the Lord had commanded them anew to attend upon their mistress in bodily forms during all the time in which her son was to be absent. It is in this form that they were to serve his tabernacle and guard the holy city of his habitation. The ministers of God obeyed most diligently and served their queen with admirable and befitting reverence. As love is so active and so impatient of the absence and privation of the object beloved, it finds its greatest comfort in speaking of its sorrow and rehearsing the cause of it, in renewing ever again the memory and discussing the excellences and conditions of the beloved. By such discourse it beguiles its sorrow, diverts its grief, and recalls to memory the images of her well-beloved. Such was also the course pursued by the most loving mother of our truest and highest good, for while her faculties were overwhelmed by the immense ocean of the divinity she felt not the bodily absence of her Son and Lord, but as soon as she again recovered the use of her senses, which had been accustomed to his amiable intercourse, and now found herself deprived of it, she immediately felt the irresistible force of her most intense, chaste, and sincere love, unfathomed by any creature. It would have been impossible for nature to suffer such pain and still retain life, had it not in her been divinely supported and strengthened. 257. In order to afford some relief to her sorrow-laden heart, she therefore returned to her holy angels and complained to them as follows. Ye diligent ministers of the Most High, fashioned by the hands of my beloved. My friends and companions, give me intelligence of my cherished son and master. Tell me where he tarries, and inform him that I am dying on account of the want of his life-giving presence. O sweet and bounteous love of my soul! Where are you, more beautiful than all the sons of men? Where do you lay your head? Where rests your most delicate and most holy body from its fatigues? Who is there to attend upon you, light of my eyes? How can my tears ever cease to flow, deprived of the clear light of the sun, which illumined mine? Where, O my son, can you find repose? Where shall this your lonely and poor little bee find you? What course shall this your little bark pursue in the vast billows of this ocean of love? Where shall I find peace? O beloved of my desires, to forget your presence is not possible to me. How then can it be possible to live in mere memory of you without actual intercourse? What shall I do? O who shall console me and lend me his company in this bitter solitude? Whom shall I seek among creatures, as long as you are absent, who are the only one and all that my heart yearns after in its love? Sovereign spirits, tell me, what is my Lord and my beloved doing? Inform me of his exterior movements, and omit nothing of his interior doings, as far as in the light of his divinity is made clear to you. Point out to me all his footsteps in order that I may follow and imitate him.
258. The holy angels obeyed their queen, consoling her in the sorrows of her mournful love, speaking of the Most High and repeating to her most exalted praises of the most sacred humanity of her Son and of all his perfections. They informed her of all his occupations and undertakings, and of the places in which he wandered. This they did by enlightening her understanding in the same way a higher angel is accustomed to enlighten those of an inferior order, for this was her manner of intercourse with the angels, unhindered by her body and the senses. The heavenly spirits communicated to her the prayers of the incarnate Word, his teachings, his visits to the poor and the sick, and other actions, so that the heavenly lady was enabled to imitate him in all these proceedings according to her condition. She thus engaged in most excellent and magnanimous undertakings, as I shall yet describe, and by this means she was eased in her sorrow and grief. 259. Several times she also sent the holy angels to visit in her name her sweetest son. On such occasions she gave them most prudent instructions, full of deep and reverential love, also supplying them with linen cloths and towels, prepared by her own hands, in order that they might wipe the divine visage of the Savior, when they saw him exhausted and covered with a bloody sweat, for the Blessed Mother knew, that he was thus overcome more and more often, as he approached the fulfillment of all the works of the redemption. The holy angels obeyed their queen therein with incredible reverence and holy fear, because they knew that the Lord himself permitted it in order to yield to the ardent desires of his most holy mother. At other times, informed by the angels or by a special vision or revelation of the Lord, she knew of his prayers and petitions for mankind in the mountains. Then she would perform the same prayers in her house in the same posture and with the same words. Sometimes, when she saw that the Lord of all creation was in want of food, she also sent him, by the hands of the angels, some nourishment, although this happened but seldom, for the Lord, as I have indicated in the foregoing chapter, did not always permit his mother to act according to the promptings of her love. Therefore, during the 40 days of his fast, she did not send any food, because she understood such to be his will. 260. At other times the heavenly lady occupied herself in composing hymns of praise and thanksgiving to the Most High. This she did by herself or in company and alternating songs with the angels. All these cantides were most exalted in style and contained the deepest mysteries. At other times she hastened to the assistance of her neighbor in imitation of her most holy son. She visited the sick, consoled the sorrowful and afflicted, enlightened the ignorant,
brought relief to them and enriched them with divine grace and bounty. Only during the time of the great fast of our Lord she retired and remained in her house, as I have already mentioned. During this retirement, our Queen and Lady separated herself from all human company, and she was favored by almost continually recurring ecstasies, in which she received peerless gifts and treasures of the divinity, for the hand of the God imprinted and painted, as upon an admirably prepared canvas, the outlines and images of His infinite perfections. All these new graces and gifts she employed in working for the salvation of men, and all her occupations and thoughts followed closely the doings of the Savior, as becoming the coadjutrix of the Lord in His labors for the redemption of mortals. Although these benefits and close intercourse with the Lord could not but bring her a great and ever new joy and exaltation of soul in the Holy Spirit, yet in the inferior and sensible parts of her being she experienced the pains, which she had sought and asked of the Savior in union with Him and in imitation of His sufferings. In this desire of following Him in His sufferings, she was insatiable, and she besought the Eternal Father for this privilege with incessant and burning love. She renewed that most pleasing sacrifice of the life of her Son and her own, which she had made in accordance with the will of God, and she was consumed with the desire of suffering with her Beloved, enduring the greatest pains precisely because of the want of such suffering. The instruction which the Queen of Heaven, Most Holy Mary, gave me. 261.
My dearest daughter, the wisdom of the flesh has made men ignorant, foolish, and hostile to God, because it is of the devil, deceitful, earthly, and rebellious to the divine laws. Romans 8:7. The more the children of Adam study and exert themselves to reach the evil objects of their carnal and animal passions, and to attain the means of indulging them, so much the more will they fall into ignorance of divine things, by which alone they can come to their true ultimate end. This ignorance and worldly prudence is still more abominable and still more hateful in the eyes of God, when it occurs in the children of the Church. By what right can the children of this world call themselves sons of God, brethren of Christ, and inheritors of His possessions? The adopted son must be, in all that is possible, like unto the natural son. A brother is not of different blood or position from that of his brother. One is not called an heir, merely because he is in some way concerned with the possessions of his father, but because he has the full enjoyment and comes into the possession of the principal property of the testator. How then are those heirs of Christ, who love, desire, and seek only earthly goods and are perfectly satisfied with them? How can those be his brothers, who so widely depart from his position, his teachings, and his holy rule of life? How can they be similar to him and claim to be his image and likeness, when they so often destroy in themselves all likeness of him and allow themselves to be so often sealed with the image of the infernal beast? Revelation 16:2. 262. My daughter, by divine light you know these truths, and how much I exerted myself to make myself the image of the Most High, namely, my Son and Lord. Do not think that I have given you such deep insight into my works without some purpose, for it is my wish that this remain written in your heart and be forever before your eyes, serving you as a rule for all your conduct during the remainder of your life, which cannot be a very long duration now. Do not allow yourself to be retarded and snared away from my following by intercourse with creatures. Let them alone, avoid them, despise them in so far as they can hinder you on your way. In order that you may advance in my school, I wish to see you poor, humble, despised, abased, yet always with a cheerful heart and countenance. Do not try to repay yourself with the applause or the love of any creature, nor allow human sentiment to rule you, for the Most High has not destined you for such useless entanglements, or for occupations so lowly and adverse to the religious state to which He has called you. Think attentively and humbly of the tokens of his love received at his hands, and of the treasures of his grace, which he has showered upon you. Neither Lucifer nor any of his ministers and followers are ignorant of them. They are filled with wrath against you, and in their cunning, they will leave no stone unturned for your destruction. His greatest efforts will be directed against your interior, where he has planted his battery of cunning and deceit. Do live well, prepared and watchful against all his attacks. Close the portals of your senses and preserve the authority of your will, without allowing it to be spent on human undertakings, no matter how good and upright they may appear to you. For if in the least point you curtail the love which God requires of you, this very point will be seized upon by your enemies as a portal of entrance. All the kingdom of God is within you, Luke 17:21. Keep it there, and there you will find it, and in it all the good you desire. Forget not my teachings and discipline, lock it up in your bosom, and remember how great is the danger and damage from which I thereby wish to preserve you. That you are called to imitate and follow me is the greatest blessing which you can ever desire. I am ready in my extreme clemency to grant you this blessing, if you dispose yourself to high resolves, holy words and perfect works, which alone can raise you to the state which the Almighty, and I, desire you to attain.